Tonight was the end of one era and the beginning of another. Tonight was the first major event of the 2.0 era. For NXT, TakeOver is no more. TakeOver is a thing of the past, and it may also have been the final chapter for Mr. NXT, the man who a lot of people would associate as the face of the black and gold brand. Former NXT champion, former NXT North American champion, NXT tag team champion, the first ever Triple Crown winner in NXT. And the man who owns the top two spots, in my opinion, when it comes to the greatest matches in NXT history. When I think of what those matches are, I think of TakeOver New York against Adam Cole. I think of TakeOver Philadelphia against Andrade Cien Almas. I think of TakeOver New Orleans, non-sanctioned, against Tommaso Ciampa. I think of TakeOver Toronto against The Revival. There's a reason they call this man Johnny TakeOver, and even though tonight was not technically a TakeOver event, when Johnny Gargano is on the big stage, when Johnny Gargano is at a major NXT event in a big match, whether it's as a babyface, whether it's as a heel, the one thing that you cannot say about this man is that he doesn't bring it every single time in a big match situation. And there's a lot of people who say a lot of things about him because he's not the biggest guy in the world, but Johnny Gargano is one of the best babyfaces that this company has seen in the last decade. I put him on a very short list with people like Daniel Bryan and people like Sami Zayn back when he was in NXT as well. As a babyface, Johnny Gargano is someone who, when you look back and you say, who is on your Mount Rushmore of NXT? We hear about these Mount Rushmore questions all the time. Who are the faces of WWE? When you think about who the faces are of NXT, Johnny Gargano is going to be on most people's Mount Rushmore. That's how important he has been to this brand over the last 5+ years. And Johnny Gargano has very likely wrestled his last match for NXT. His last match, ironically, his first War Games match. In all the years he's been in NXT, tonight was his first time in the War Games match. And tonight was no different than any of those other matches that I mentioned. Tonight was no different than any other main event he has been in. And yes, as people are pointing out in the chat, Sasha Banks and Bayley, you guys know that is one of my favorite matches, period, in the last decade. But I'm talking about the top two spots, and then I just named a few other Gargano matches because there were so many, right? The one with Aleister Black, I could go on. But the point I'm trying to make is that tonight was very likely the final bow for Johnny Gargano. His contract was said to have expired on Friday. That was the end date for his contract. And he agreed to an extension of 1 week to get him through the War Games show, because I'm sure he wanted to be in a War Games match at least once, if he is leaving. And because he was always going to do business the right way. It's like what we saw with Kyle O'Reilly, and we're going to talk about Kyle as well. Because Kyle O'Reilly also, on his way out of NXT, doing business the right way on his way out. But he signed a 1 week extension, did Gargano, to do the show tonight. And even if he re-signs, and I think there's a better chance of him re-signing than Kyle O'Reilly, but let's say Johnny Gargano, he re-signs, he likely would be on his way to Raw or SmackDown. Or he could just choose to leave the company and go ply his craft somewhere else. The point is, I believe that tonight was the final night for Johnny Gargano. Only time will tell for sure. This is your NXT War Games 2021 review. I am the Solemn Monster. Thank you for choosing me for your War Games coverage here tonight. I predicted the winners of both War Games matches on the podcast earlier today, episode 733. We talked about the women's War Games match, and we knew Kaylee Ray had won the advantage for her team, and I said, the babyface team is going to go over. Cora Jade has a pinfall win over the champion on TV a few weeks ago. Cora Jade or Io Shirai, either one of them would get the win in the women's match. That's exactly what happened. In the men's War Games match, I said, everything is built around Team 2.0. They're trying to get over this new 2.0 era of NXT. Bron Breakker is the future. This guy is a future WrestleMania main eventer. He has that potential in him. Bron Breakker is awesome. The name isn't awesome, but Bron Breakker is awesome. And Bron Breakker has been teasing a rematch with Tommaso Ciampa, wanting to go after the NXT championship again. So you use both War Games matches to put over the individual who is going to go on to challenge for the championship. With the women, it was Cora Jade. Tonight, with the men, it was Bron Breakker standing tall at the end of this show in what I thought was an outstanding main event. Much better than the women's War Games match. And the women's War Games match was not terrible, but I thought it was the weakest of the War Games matches that NXT has ever done. They've been doing it now for a few years. But that main event with the new school against the old school was excellent. And the right team went over with the right person going over in the end. We're going to get into all of these matches. Hit that like button if you have not already done so. Subscribe to the channel if you are not already subbed so that you will get notifications. Make sure that bell is turned on. Super chats are open. I already see some popping up on screen. I will be reading them later on in the stream. I thank you for all of your support on the Super Chat front. And again, we'll hang out for a little bit later on and have a little Super Chat party. So if you have thoughts on tonight's show, there you see Gyro Splater and his disappointed Solomonster $5 Super Chat popping up. Didn't say what he's disappointed in, but he dropped $5. So thank you, Gyro Splater. We opened with the Women's War Games match. Io Shirai, Raquel Gonzalez, Cora Jade, and Kaylee Ray taking on Dakota Kai, Mandy Rose, Gigi Dolin, and JC Jane of Toxic Attraction, who have been getting the big push on TV now for a number of months. Every week, Toxic Attraction getting a big push. It was very funny to me to hear commentary tonight trying to put over the idea that Toxic Attraction were somehow the underdogs in that match, which I guess that was the story they were trying to tell because the babyfaces had the advantage, which is completely ass backwards. But it was funny to me because Toxic Attraction has been so dominant on TV, I don't think anybody was looking at them as the underdogs. So the cages with each of the remaining team members outside of the two people who were starting these War Games matches, they had the shark cages in the audience. So they would leave the shark cage when they were called, when it was their turn, and they would have to come through the crowd. This is the first War Games show that we have had in this new redeveloped PC. I wasn't even sure they were going to be able to fit two rings in the PC, but they managed to pull it off. And it's just weird. You know, when we talk about the end of one era and the beginning of another, you know, I know a lot of you probably feel the same way that I do. I miss the old NXT. There was a period years ago, NXT was the best weekly television wrestling show that I watched. I was enjoying NXT. I was enjoying Lucha Underground. So it almost didn't even matter if Raw sucked or if SmackDown sucked. And believe me, there was a lot to rant about when it came to those shows even then. I knew that, you know, NXT wouldn't let me down. And Lucha Underground wouldn't let me down. So now that we're dealing with this new phase of NXT, there are a lot of people who are obviously not a fan of it. Now, I understand the need to get over some of the newer, younger faces. I don't have any issue with that. And they have a lot of great young talent on that NXT brand. We saw that on display in that main event alone tonight. Bron Breakker and the North American champion, Carmelo Hayes. Grayson Waller. The Creed brothers, right? We can make a whole list. A lot of really talented people, young people that they have on that roster who hopefully they will develop and not screw up. And they will be able to create actual legitimate stars in the future. I don't think you needed to blow up the entire brand in order to do that. One of the things that I miss about these big shows, we didn't have that tonight, is we would have takeovers in an actual arena setting. So you could have several thousand people in a building going nuts. They would be screaming NXT at the top of their lungs. I was in those crowds. WrestleMania weekend in New York, in Dallas. I will always remember being there live for Shinsuke Nakamura's debut against Sami Zayn. I was in the building that night, and the energy that you would feel from an NXT crowd was unlike anything that you would get on the main roster. And that was always what made it so much more fun to be at an NXT show, to watch an NXT show, because those fans, as annoying as they could be, at Full Sail, and I kind of developed a love-hate relationship with the audience when it came to those Full Sail shows, their enthusiasm and their energy for the show is infectious, and it made the shows that much more fun. And I would hope that as time goes on, they don't put all of these shows and keep all of these shows in that small building, because it ruins the entire vibe of these shows. They don't have to call them takeovers, but when you have a major event like this, I think it hurts more than it helps to be in front of the same crowd that you're in every single week, 150 people, 200 people, however many people it is. You're never going to get the same feel of those old takeovers if you are, you know, kind of stuck in that little studio, which is basically what it is. So it felt weird to see these War Games matches in such a tiny building like that. But anyway, we had the shark cages positioned up in the audience. And I should also mention, I mentioned this on the podcast earlier, tonight was the final night for Beth Phoenix on commentary for the NXT brand. She announced the other day on her social media that she is leaving NXT as of tonight. This was her final show. She wants to spend more time with her family. That is what she claims. We shall see if she pops up on TV tagging with her husband in the next few months against Miz and Maryse. And also, who they're going to replace her with. Because you know they're going to want a three-person booth. They might want another female voice to replace her. I don't know who that would be. I don't know if they want to move Mackenzie Mitchell into that role. She's their backstage interviewer. I don't know if she would be any good. I don't know if she wants the role, if they have somebody else in mind. I would expect another woman in that spot, but I don't know exactly who that would be. Kaylee Ray opened the women's War Games match for the babyfaces, Dakota Kai for the heels. The two women who fought in the ladder match last Tuesday to determine who would have the advantage. And of course, that was the ladder match that gave the babyfaces the advantage. Like I said, some ass-backwards booking there. The fans were chanting for the heels. Early on in this match, the fans were chanting for the heels because the heels were at a disadvantage. Again, this is why it is so messed up when you do this in a War Games match, because the psychology of it is all wrong. So they did not like it when Dakota Kai was being ganged up on by the babyfaces here, and they were waiting for her partners to come into the match. And there were a lot of chanting for Gigi Dolin. I don't know how many of you noticed that. It was pretty much, I mean, it was impossible not to notice that hold on a second here. Ryan Spies chiming in with a super chat here. I have to chime in here for a second. According to PW Insider, Jeff Hardy got sent home from the road. And apparently that is all we know. So I am reading that as it is being sent in to me here. I will have to look into that once we are done with the review. If there is any news to talk about, we will talk about that, but that does not sound good. Hopefully he is okay. Just got done watching Jeff on the Broken Skull Sessions. He seemed to be in a good place. I hope that that is not a negative sign. But yes, the fans in the building were very fond of Gigi Dolin. I can't say that I blame them. I am also a fan of Gigi Dolin. We had kendo sticks right away. They didn't waste any time. You know my thoughts on the overabundance of kendo sticks. We had them in the opener. We had them in the main event. They didn't waste any time. They had those kendo sticks right there when the match started. Kaylee Ray laid a bunch of them across the ropes at one point, laid them right across the ropes in between both rings, and slammed Dakota down through them chest first. Cora Jade was the next entrance, or next entrant. Next entrance, she brought her skateboard into the cage with her, never really came into play. You know, she brought it in, it was laying there, and never really factored into things again. And so the babyfaces were having their way with Dakota, which sounds kind of dirty, but I don't mean it in that way. We got loud chants, more chants of "We won Gigi, we won Gigi." She was the next one out. They got what they wanted. So Gigi Dolin pulls out a trash can from under the ring and a black duffel bag, and she brings them into the cage. Now, let me pose this question to you, because maybe I missed something here. It's hard to keep notes on all this stuff that's going on when it comes to these War Games matches. What was in the duffel bag? Because I realized when the match was over and I went back and I looked over my notes, I don't think that I saw them take anything out of the duffel bag. Something must have been taken out of the duffel bag, probably just some random weapon. I didn't see it if it was. Maybe it didn't come into play at all. So in the chat, you'll let me know if I did not see what came out of that duffel bag. Io Shirai was in next. She brought chairs into the ring because it was bring your favorite toy to work day, apparently. Every single person who came into this match brought some weapon or object of some kind into the ring with them. Dakota nailed her with a pump kick to the face as soon as Io got into the ring. Pump kicked her right in the kisser, right in the mush. JC Jane was in next. She pulled the table out from under the ring, and Gigi helped her drag it into the cage. Things got kind of slow and kind of boring for a little while here in the middle until the big high spot of the match. Cora Jade, who is not a big woman. She's a tiny girl. Cora Jade climbs to the top of the cage. And she comes off the top, hits a giant senton onto JC Jane through the table down below. And when she came down at a very awkward, very ugly angle where it almost looked like she didn't get the full rotation and she kind of came down on her shoulder. It looked bad. And she did a great job of selling this as a real injury because the angle of her landing looked like she may have landed on her shoulder. So when she came up lame and she was clutching her shoulder as if she had dislocated it, and she was crying and screaming, and her partners seemed like they didn't know what to do. And the referees are looking, you know, through the cage to, you know, they look concerned. So they had me convinced. She had me convinced that she was really hurt. And I thought, oh man, what, this is awful. What terrible timing here. She's getting a push on TV, one of their bright young stars in the women's division. And, you know, no injury is good, but shoulder injuries are tough. You don't want to break your shoulder, you know, clavicle, something like that. So immediately I'm thinking, boy, this woman is fucked. And this match is about to come to a standstill. Any minute now, the referees and the trainer, the doctor, they're going to climb into the cage. And they didn't. And that was the telltale sign that she was doing a great job of working. Because you know that if she landed the way that she landed, and reacted the way that she did, and immediately grabbed her shoulder, and everybody kind of stood still and didn't know what to do, the first thing that would have happened is you would have had people in that ring within seconds. And when 30 seconds went by and 60 seconds went by and nobody came into the cage to check on this woman, I knew she was working. But for a while there, she had me convinced. She did a great job, I thought, of selling this injury. So she inched her way. She was on the opposite side, the second ring. Okay, the door is all the way on the other side. So she slowly crawled and inched her way all the way over towards the door as if she was going to leave the cage so that she can receive medical attention. As they open the door and she's going to get out of the cage, Io Shirai, her partner, comes over and Io closes the door. And Io walks over to Cora and she grabs her arm. Cora is laying on the ground. She grabs her arm. And I'm thinking, okay, she's going to go Mel Gibson on her in Lethal Weapon and try to pop this thing back into place. And that's what she did. That's what she was trying to do. She was trying to pop it back into place while this poor girl screamed, Io Shirai doesn't give a shit about your arm. She came to win the match. That is why this woman is here. So I thought that was cool. And I will give props to Cora Jade because we see angles like this and then, you know, after that, they're right back to normal. She sold that shoulder for the rest of the match. So that's why I say her selling was on point. We have Sammy Guevara on AEW, just to use him as an example, because he's been on TV nursing a rib injury, right? And he's selling the ribs. you know, but then he'll do this twisting corkscrew dive out of the ring and he'll look perfectly fine. And then 10 seconds later, he's selling the ribs and then he's doing another high risk move. And I'm not just trying to single him out, but that's an example. We see that all the time in wrestling. So kudos to her. She did a good job for the whole rest of the match. Still had people on my timeline convinced that maybe she was hurt because she wasn't doing much. Maybe she really is hurt. I'd be shocked to find out that she was hurt. So for a lot of the sloppiness that there was in this match, I can't lay any of it on Cora Jade because I thought she did a great job. Raquel Gonzalez was the final member of the babyface team to enter the match. She threw a shovel into the ring. What is with shovels, right? I mean, at least here there's a storyline reason for it. Dakota Kai used a shovel on Raquel and cost her the championship at Halloween Havoc against Mandy Rose. We had the golden shovel, Cody's golden shovel on Dynamite last week, which was dumb. More shovels. So she tossed the shovel inside, but before she could climb inside, Dakota and Gigi closed the door. They held the door shut so that Raquel couldn't come in. Raquel grabs a fire extinguisher. She sprayed both women in the eyes so that she could enter the cage. Raquel had Dakota Kai at one point in a garbage can. Dakota is so tiny, she fit into this garbage can perfectly while Raquel picked up the garbage can and twirled it around. And for some reason, Gigi Dolan walked into or ran into the garbage can and took a bump. I don't know why she did that. That was kind of dumb. Io went up top, hit a moonsault, landed right across the can with Dakota inside. Mandy Rose was the final entrant into the match. And not a good night for Mandy Rose. Mandy Rose had some sloppy spots here. I think it was Mandy Rose at one point was using a kendo stick. I believe it was her. And these kendo stick shots. Oh boy. Look, if you're not going to swing that fucking thing, then why even bother using it? If you're going to use a kendo stick, you got to make it look good. And we didn't get that here, not from her anyway. But once she entered, per the rules of the War Games match, the match now officially begins. You cannot pin your opponent. You cannot force them to submit until all of the entrants are in. Mandy was the final entrant, so the match officially began. And we had the heels on one side. We had the baby faces on the other. There was a moment where Kaylee Ray looked. So Cora Jade is in the corner. And Kaylee Ray had a weapon in her hand. And it looked like she was about to go after Cora Jade. But then she like swerved everybody and went after the heel. I don't understand that. That didn't make any sense to me. That was stupid. That just seemed like trying to throw people off for the sake of throwing people off. Toxic Attraction took out Raquel with chair shots, covered her, but that got broken up by Jade. And she was trying to fight valiantly. She had one arm, one good arm, and she had a kendo stick in the other, and she was trying to fight off the heels. She got overwhelmed. And Mandy Rose hit a running knee for a near fall. She was stunned when Cora Jade kicked out. Raquel hit JC Jane with her Chigona bomb. Dolan and Gonzalez took each other out with pump kicks. Cora Jade was the only person left standing. And she covered JC Jane, and she got the win for the babyface team. And they win the War Games match. I thought, you know, the best compliment that I can pay this match, I thought they told a good story with Cora Jade. Cora Jade is a star. And it made total sense for her to win, because she has a television win a few weeks ago already, non-title, over Mandy Rose. And with this win in the War Games match now, she is set up perfectly to challenge for the NXT Women's Championship. I'm sure the shoulder injury will come into play, which is going to lead to her downfall, because she's not going to beat Mandy Rose to win the title. But I thought that was the correct outcome. Yeah, the thing about Cora Jade, she has this AJ Lee thing going that really works for her. I guess like the girl next door type of thing. And I think it works for her. Outside of the story with Cora Jade, I thought this was the weakest of all of the War Games matches, men and women, that WWE has done over the last few years. Right? We've had, what, 3 years now? Think about 3 years of War Games matches. This was the weakest that I can remember. Imperium against Kyle O'Reilly and Von Wagner for the NXT Tag Team Championship. Let me take a moment here to Welcome, everybody, to the stream, and I thank you for joining me and choosing me for your coverage tonight. There is a little bit of breaking news, and I just want to check on something here before we move on, because there were a couple of super chats regarding Jeff Hardy. I just want to read you an update real quick here, and then we'll get back to this. This is from PWInsider.com. This is from Mike Johnson about half an hour ago. Jeff Hardy was not at tonight's live event in Corpus Christi, Texas, at the American Bank Center. The word making the rounds at the event was that Hardy had been sent home from the road. And from what I understand, Sean Ross Sapp of Fightful has since confirmed this as well. Johnson says Hardy teamed with Xavier Woods and Drew McIntyre against the Bloodline last night in Texas for the main event and spent most of the match in the ring. Being worked over by Roman Reigns and the Usos. Once he made the hot tag to McIntyre, Hardy disappeared into the crowd and did not return to the ring for the post-match celebration with his partners. And Hardy was replaced in Corpus Christi tonight by Rey Mysterio. He was not backstage at the event. And they have reached out to WWE for comment. And that is where things stand on that front. So that is the update as far as Jeff Hardy is concerned. Hopefully everybody is okay. And you never know with these things. You know, with Jeff's track record and his history, your mind starts to go to a bad place. But, you know, Jeff had COVID a number of months ago. I mean, who knows? It could be anything. It could be anything. I'm sure we'll get more news on this tomorrow. So as I said, Imperium against Kyle O'Reilly and Von Wagner for the NXT Tag Team titles. This was excellent. This match right here and the main event, these two matches are what made this War Games show tonight. So if you ask me, Solomonster, do you recommend that I go back and I watch War Games? My recommendation would be you watch this match here for the tag team titles and you watch the main event. Those are the two matches that you need to watch. These two right here were both excellent. Imperium won for the Imperial Bomb. Von Wagner fought out, chokeslammed Fabian Aichner onto Marcel Bartel. Kyle O'Reilly tagged in. He locked on a heel hook. Fabian Aichner broke it up with an awesome double springboard moonsault off the ropes. Wagner took out Bartel. Kyle O'Reilly locked on the guillotine on Fabian Aichner. And it looked like Fabian Aichner was tapping out to the point where the announcers, I think even Vic Joseph, ooh! Oh! Oh! It's my Vic Joseph. Vic Joseph even thought that he was tapping out. It was a bad camera angle. I think what happened is Aichner had his hand and he was kind of waving no. I think that's what was happening. He did not tap out. And in fact, he kind of muscled out of it. O'Reilly turned it into a cradle. Kyle went for his rebound lariat, but Aichner met him with one of his own. And both men collapsed to the mat. We had a double down. O'Reilly and Wagner hit the high-low on Marcel Bartel for a near fall. Bartel baited Wagner out over the top rope, and he went go flying over the top out to the floor. And he tagged in Fabian Aichner. Fabian Aichner, who was on fire this match. Fabian Aichner hit a step-up dive out onto Wagner on the floor. Back inside, Kyle O'Reilly caught Fabian with a brainbuster for a near fall. Locked on a cross-arm breaker, transitioned into a triangle. Aichner powered O'Reilly up into position for the Imperial Bomb. He got him in perfect position for his tag team finish. And Bartel came off the top. They connected for the Imperial Bomb. And Imperium retains the NXT Tag Team Championship. This was a great match. And Fabian Aichner, in particular, was incredible in this match. And I was just singing his praises on the podcast last week. I was just talking about Aichner not 1 week ago. I had mentioned the Cruiserweight Classic. The Cruiserweight Classic a few years ago was the first time I laid eyes on this guy. I wouldn't have been able to pick him out of a lineup. And what impressed me about him was, you know, he's not overly tall, but he's kind of bulked up. And him in there with these other cruiserweights, he looked out of place. He didn't look like a cruiserweight. And yet he's flying around doing all kinds of stuff that you wouldn't expect a guy who looks like him to be able to do. Like that double springboard moonsault, the double jump. Stuff like that. He's very impressive. And I thought he was absolutely on fire here in this match. And he's only gotten better since then. Since I first saw him in that Cruiserweight Classic, I think Imperium together, a fantastic tag team. I'm happy to see them finally being utilized the right way. They were sort of meandering there for a while. To be honest with you, I was, you know, thinking, boy, you know, these guys were one step away from being cut. And now they're the tag team champions. And I think this was, I believe, their first defense, I believe, since winning the title. So I knew coming into this, they weren't going to lose the belts. Well, for more reasons than one, especially given who they were wrestling tonight and the future of Kyle O'Reilly. I knew Imperium were going to retain the belts, but Fabian Aichner in particular looked fantastic. He could be a breakout single star one day. I think Fabian Aichner one day could be a breakout single star. That's how good he is. After the match, crowd was chanting, "Thank you, Kyle," because they know what's up. The crowd there at the PC, they know what's up. They know Kyle O'Reilly is on his way out. And they're chanting, "Thank you, Kyle." All of a sudden, Von Wagner. Fucking Von Wagner. He goes to turn on Kyle O'Reilly. And he goes to clothesline him, but Kyle ducks. So he misses the clothesline, and O'Reilly rocks him with a forearm. I mean, he smashed him with a forearm and took down Von Bozo. And Von Wagner looked like such a fucking geek. He went to turn on this guy. He couldn't even do that right. And he got laid out for his troubles. And Kyle threw up the Undisputed Era hand sign. And he gave the guy a crotch chop. And so ends one of the worst tag team pairings that I have ever seen. You know my thoughts. If you listen to the podcast, if you tune into my reviews, you know my thoughts on the whole pairing of Von Wagner and Kyle O'Reilly. I know they're using O'Reilly to try to get Von Wagner over. And Von Wagner, as far as in the ring, he's not terrible or anything. But this guy, there's nothing to him. No personality, no negative charisma. Negative charisma. He was doing more to drag Kyle down than Kyle was to bring him up. Because what could Kyle do? What could Kyle O'Reilly possibly do? He's in a makeshift team that he has no business being in. All this guy was doing was dragging Kyle O'Reilly down into the pits. Horrible team, horrible pairing. Nice idea in theory, but awful. Later on backstage with Mackenzie Mitchell, Kyle said that he could see that turn coming from a mile away. You must be as stupid as you look if you thought that I wouldn't see this turn coming from a mile away. And he said, "This was my first time missing the War Games match." He goes, "Keep the cage up. This Tuesday, NXT, you and me, one-on-one inside a steel cage." So there it is. Kyle O'Reilly is going to be doing the job for Cro-Magnon Man this Tuesday on his way out the door, doing business the right way, putting over the new guy. Von Wagner will get his win. But boy, he looked like a damn geek out there. Holy shit. Look, he held his own in the match. I mean, I'm talking about Fabian Aichner here. Marcel Bartel, Kyle. Kyle was great too. Wagner held his own in there. Everybody in the match looked good. But Kyle O'Reilly has no future in NXT. Kyle O'Reilly has no future in NXT. Kyle O'Reilly has no future on Raw. Kyle O'Reilly has no future on SmackDown. Kyle O'Reilly needs to leave WWE as soon as possible. There is a Red Dragon reunion awaiting him. That is where he needs to be. He and Bobby Fish together, of course Adam Cole is there in AEW, but O'Reilly and Bobby Fish together working matches in that tag team division, that is where Kyle O'Reilly's place needs to be right now. Working with teams like the Lucha Bros, working with teams like FTR, working with teams like Jurassic Express, working with teams like the Young Bucks, among the many other young teams they have in that company. That is the best role for him right now. Winter is coming for Kyle O'Reilly. We have Cameron Grimes one-on-one with Duke Hudson. This was hair versus hair. Hudson sent Grimes over the top rope onto the steel steps early on, and Cameron came back with a cannonball senton. Hudson stopped his momentum with a Samoa Joe, or I guess now it would be a Big E-esque Uranage in the corner, slammed him down to the mat. Poor Samoa Joe, we've had no update on the status of Samoa Joe. And Samoa Joe does not fit in what they are looking for in NXT 2.0, and it makes me very sad because Samoa Joe is somebody who, again, he had his own injury issues. You know, Joe came to WWE, physically he was already very beat up, but Samoa Joe should have had a WWE championship run or a Universal title run at one point. They had a chance a couple of years, well, more than a couple now, about 3 or 4 years ago, and they didn't take it. They squandered it. He had that fun match at Great Balls of Fire with Brock Lesnar. There was a window where he was relatively healthy and they could have put the title on him, and they didn't do it. And I think that window has closed. I don't know what kind of future he has in WWE. I don't know what his goals are. I don't know if his goal is to get back in the ring. I don't know if his goal is to help out behind the scenes, to be a coach or something along those lines, which, you know, he could certainly do that in NXT, I guess, but I don't see any obvious role for him in NXT. And he signed a contract earlier this year. I assume it wasn't a short-term contract either. So I don't think Samoa Joe is going anywhere. And it's a shame because with all these other names that he came up with in Ring of Honor and on the independents that are out there that he could be working with and doing stuff with, he's sort of trapped now in NXT with no obvious role. Now that they've rebranded and they've gone into the youth movement, Samoa Joe's what, 40? He's beat up and 40. It's not a good thing to be in NXT. But we've heard nothing since he surrendered the championship and went away before the relaunch in September, so I don't know what his status is. But seeing Duke Hudson pull off that move in the corner made me think of Samoa Joe. I see Bulu is joining us in the chat, and it looks like he might be going through a tough time. And I don't know, the messages went a little too fast. But Bulu, if you are, my thoughts are with you, brother. Bulu's been missing for about a week. I was a little worried about him. Actually, he does have a super chat. Let me just read this. Bulu did send in a super chat here. It says, Salamaster, I just lost my dad on Thursday to cancer. So that is awful. So, Bulu, I am very sorry. Everybody in the chat, I am sure, extends their condolences to you and your family. It's awful to lose a parent. Unfortunately, I know what that's like. Twice. It sucks. Cancer sucks. And our thoughts are with you. We're here for you, brother. We are here for you, brother. Just know that. You could send in any questions you may have. Don't worry about it. We're thinking about you. So Duke Hudson got the heat on Cameron Grimes for a long time. It was working him over. Grimes finally hit an enziguri and his standing Spanish fly for two. Follow that with a tornado DDT. So Grimes was back on the comeback here, making a comeback in this match. Hudson got a cradle, grabbed the ropes for leverage, but the referee caught it. And Grimes hit Hudson with a reverse Rana. Followed that with a Yakuza kick and a crossbody for a two count. Grimes was up for the Razor's Edge, and he countered out of the Razor's Edge into a Hurricanrana that sent Hudson face first into the top turnbuckle, and Grimes rolled up Hudson for the win. Pretty straightforward, basic match. Hudson tried to run away. He tried to flee, and Cameron Grimes tossed him back into the ring. They had a big barber's chair sitting in the ring. And he tossed him back into the ring, put Grimes in the, Hudson put Grimes in the chair because he was going to go ahead and shave his head anyway. He said, fuck your stipulation. I'm going to shave this guy's head regardless of who won this match. Thankfully, Grimes made a comeback. He hit the cave-in. He held Hudson down. He shaved off some of his hair, and Hudson ran away. He literally just shaved like a stripe down his head. And Duke Hudson ran away, which was a cop-out, because we were promised that somebody was going to be shaved bald. This happens way too often when they do these stipulations in wrestling these days. Somebody will cut off a little bit of their hair, they'll shave part of their head, and then they'll run to the back. The stipulation is, you're going to be shaved bald. They did not deliver on the stipulation here in this match. He needs to finish the job on TV on Tuesday. We were cheated out of the full haircut. Way to flake out on the stipulation. The match served its purpose. The purpose of this match was for Cameron Grimes to get his revenge on Duke Hudson for cutting his hair all those weeks ago after the little poker showdown they had. This was not nearly as satisfying as the payoff with Cameron Grimes beating LA Knight and finally winning the $1 million championship. That was a great story. That was a long story that went on for a few months. It had a great payoff in the end. Cameron Grimes, he was as hot as he had ever been. And then they did the whole relaunch, and it's like they didn't know what to do with him. And they blew up NXT, and it just was like he just kind of faded into the background. And so this feud hasn't really been very entertaining, but at least he got his revenge in the end. Otherwise, the match was okay. It certainly was not anything that you wouldn't see on television. Speaking of television, they advertise another live New Year's Evil special. They did this last year. They're bringing back New Year's Evil on Tuesday, January 4th on USA. So that is going to be, I guess, their next big TV special, I suppose. We'll have to start loading up that card here in the next few weeks. Roderick Strong was up next, defending his NXT Cruiserweight Championship against Joe Gacy. Where are we at? Where are we at? 230? 230 likes? Let's try to get that up to 300. We got enough of you guys hanging out in the chat. Hit that thumbs up. Let's try to get 300 and beyond. Roddy hit an angle slam. I'm skipping ahead to the end of the match because this really was not a very exciting match. Roddy hit an angle slam for a two count. Put Gacy in the stronghold, which is just the Boston Crab. Gacy powered out. He locked Strong in a crossface. And he dumped Roddy outside the ring right in front of Diamond Mine. Diamond Mine was out there. All the members of Diamond Mine. I have a Diamond Mind. So he threw him out of the ring, and Gacy hit a flip dive out onto Strong and the Creed brothers, who were outside the ring. Malcolm Bivens was out there as well, Ivy Nile. Ivy Nile got up in Gacy's face. And in Gacy's corner, he had Harland. And Harland picked up Ivy Nile, lifted her up. Gacy ordered him to put her down. And he hit Strong with a gut-wrench powerbomb for a near fall. Roddy hit Gacy with a rising knee strike and hit the end of Heartache Backbreaker to retain the championship. Much like the Cameron Grimes match, I wrote down this was a TV match. This match really was nothing special. I was hoping that he would pick up the win. Joe Gacy, that is, would pick up the win just because the Cruiserweight title at this point is virtually worthless. There has been no real focus on the Cruiserweight title. There really is not much of a Cruiserweight division. There really hasn't been since they got rid of all the people that were on 205 Live. And 205 Live is a dead brand. I mean, they're putting people on 205 Live now that are not 205 pounds and under. They're putting fucking Odyssey Jones in there with the Cruiserweight champion on some weeks. What is the point of any of that? Why even have 205 Live? So if Joe Gacy was going to win the Cruiserweight title and rebrand it and call it, make it some kind of all-inclusive, like, open weight type of championship, you know what? That might actually be interesting. What have you got to lose? Nobody is clamoring to see the Cruiserweight title defended on TV every week because there's no real focus on it. I mean, I'm glad that Roddy has a title and I like Diamond Mine, but would anybody really care if Gacy won the belt and turned it into something completely different? Because I wouldn't. And there's still time for it to happen. I still believe it will happen. I believe that Roddy is going to drop the championship. It's just a matter of when. You got New Year's Evil coming up. January 4th. Maybe there's a title change on that show. So they aired an Ikem and Jiro video that had bathroom humor. It was a bathroom blowout, you might say. The less said about this, the better. This was very stupid. This is not even worth getting into. So then it was time for the men's War Games match. Old school versus new school. Tommaso Ciampa, the NXT champion. Johnny Gargano, who came out to his old babyface Rebel Heart music. It was good to hear that one last time. Pete Dunne and LA Knight taking on Bron Breakker, Carmelo Hayes, Grayson Waller, and Tony D'Angelo. All the new school guys had black war paint across their faces. They were ready to go to war here in the War Games match. Carmelo Hayes got things started for Team 2.0, Gargano for the old school. Johnny War Games. We got Johnny War Games chance for the very first time. It's hard to believe, right, that he's never been in a War Games match before. Even Ciampa's been in the War Games before. How has Gargano not been in War Games until now? Melo reversed the one final beat early on. These two were going back and doing some chain wrestling here at the beginning of this War Games match. And he reversed the one final beat, walked right into Gargano's slingshot spear, though. And Gargano hit a nice-looking twisting sunset bomb to Hayes off the side of the cage and took him down. Grayson Waller was in next for Team 2.0. He and Hayes tried for the old DIY finish, but Gargano ducked out of the way. And Hayes kicked Waller in the shin. Waller caught Johnny with a kick to the face that busted his nose open. Looked like the heel of his boot, maybe, caught him in the nose. The bridge of his nose, it looked like. So, yeah, he wasn't bleeding a gusher, but he was bloodied up. Trick Williams was outside, and Trick Williams tossed the steel chair into the cage. Now, he did give warning. He said, watch out. Apparently, nobody heard him. He threw this chair over the top of the cage. It came within 2 inches of hitting Grayson Waller right in the face. Johnny Gargano would not have been the only person bleeding if he was just 2 inches over. So that was a little scary. Johnny grabbed the chair. He whacked Williams with it while Williams was trying to scale the cage and climb in. So he knocked him off. Pete Dunne was out of the shark cage next. And Dunne gave Carmelo Hayes an X-plex onto Grayson Waller. Dunne bent Waller's fingers in the cage. You know, Waller was wearing these blue gloves. Kind of like AJ Styles does. And so the visual of him with his fingers in the chain link fence as Dunne was bending them backwards and he was just shrieking in pain was great. Pete Dunne is very good at that. It's the whole joint manipulation that Pete Dunne does so well in his matches. And Dunne and Gargano locked in stereo. Gargano escapes at the same time. It was funny, too, because Dunne had it locked in. Gargano had it locked in. And while each of them had the hold locked in, they were also kicking the other heel in the face while they were trapped in the hold. Tony D'Angelo was out next. I think we only got one Gabagool reference on the show tonight. I was shocked. That shows a lot of restraint on their part. Only one Gabagool reference. Trick Williams tossed kendo sticks into the ring. They brought a table inside. And, you know, this is something I tweeted earlier, and I didn't mention this when I talked about the women's match, but it's worth mentioning here. One of the things I dislike about what has happened to War Games, you know, and we saw this even with Blood and Guts in AEW. War Games matches have devolved into just glorified hardcore matches, where there's this incessant need to have kendo sticks and chairs and tables and trash cans and chains and all kinds of stuff in every single War Games match. We had the same thing last year and the year before that. Now, it's one thing if you're going to have a War Games match where you have a lot of weapons and then you don't do it again for a while. But now it's just become the accepted norm that every War Games match, male and female, you just have all these weapons and all this plunder in there. And I miss the old days, and I don't think that this is just something where, oh, that's the old way of doing it. I mean, War Games, the psychology of War Games, you shouldn't need to have weapons in every single War Games match. And the cage should be the primary weapon that you use. And I think they're getting away from that more and more, where the cage is barely used. I mean, they jump off the top of it, which you couldn't do in the old days because the cage used to have a top on it. So now they kind of jump off it, but they don't use the cage. They use everything but the cage. That's the whole psychology of the War Games match. You shouldn't need to bring all these other weapons in. And so we had all these weapons and plunder in the opening match, and I was like, oh, God. We had it in the main event, too. Now, I thought they made better use of it in the main event, and the main event was just a much better match. But even in the main event, same thing. All kinds of weapons. We had chairs and kendo sticks. We had a crowbar. Right? We had all kinds of stuff. And I just think they've gone way too overboard with it. It's not needed. I understand that it's war games. Anything goes. But you don't need all the weapons in the war games match. You're trapped inside a cage. Be creative. Figure out ways to use the cage and beat the hell out of each other without having to rely on tables and chairs every 5 seconds. Fire extinguishers, we had those tonight as well. I mean, it's out of control. Too many weapons. Dexter Lumis showed up. He was underneath the ring. So when Trick Williams was pulling out all these weapons and stuff, he didn't realize that Dexter Lumis was under the ring. He crawled out. He chased off Trick Williams. He turned around. He gave the thumbs up to, I guess, his father-in-law, Johnny Gargano, who gave him a thumbs up right back. The heels padlocked the cage door shut. Tony D'Angelo, in particular. He padlocked and chained shut the cage door so that the baby faces, the old school, couldn't get inside. LA Knight was out next. He had no way to get through the door. So he said, fuck it. And he went and he climbed up over the cage because there's no top on the cage. So he climbed in and he ran wild and he had great babyface fire, right? As great as LA Knight is as a heel. He's a natural heel. He's a natural heel. But I do think there are similarities with him and The Rock in that The Rock was a great heel. The Rock was a great heel. And I think I prefer him, frankly, as a heel. Hollywood Rock, I mean, is just the best. But he's also a great babyface. And so LA Knight has a little bit of that in him, where I think he's a natural heel. He should be a heel. But we saw some of that babyface fire from him tonight. And I watched him, and I just thought the same thing I always think when I watch him in NXT. He feels out of place. Why is he not on Raw? Why is he not on SmackDown? He is somebody who, again, he's not one of the young crew. He's not 30 years old. He's closer to 40, I think, than he is 30. But he's got all of the boxes checked that you would think Vince McMahon and Bruce Pritchard would look for in somebody that they want on the main roster. He's got charisma. He can talk. He can work. But he's got that personality and that charisma about him where he can pretty much be plugged in and he could be a babyface or he could be a heel. He could do the goofy stuff that they want some of their heels to do. They can give him a talk show segment. I mean, he can pretty much do anything that, you know, the heels on Raw and SmackDown do. And they could definitely use some new faces on Raw and SmackDown. So why is he still toiling away in NXT is what I would like to know. He's not getting any younger down there. This man should be on USA. This man should be on Fox on Mondays and Fridays. He should not be on NXT on Tuesdays. Bron Breakker was the final member of Team 2.0 to enter. The referees were having a bitch of a time with the bolt cutter. I think they were legitimately trying to get it off. They could not snap the chain on the cage door. Bron Breakker took the bolt cutters, and he also struggled. So at first I thought, okay, they're saving it for Braun. They're going to have Braun snap the chain, or he'll just grab it, and it's gimmicked, and he'll rip it open. But he's trying to get this thing, and it will not snap. And finally, I guess it did. They panned away. They said, we shouldn't show this anymore. He seems to be struggling. Eventually, he did manage to get the door open. And he went in there, and he ran wild. Tommaso Ciampa was the final entrant in the War Games match, so the match was now official. The match beyond. War Games is now underway. Ciampa laid out everybody before Carmelo Hayes took him out. Johnny Gargano hit Hayes from behind with a crutch to rescue his former DIY partner. Gargano lawn darted Hayes into a trash can that Pete Dunne was holding for him in the ropes. Ciampa went for an air raid crash to Grayson Waller, who's going to put him through a table. So he was trying to give him an air raid crash from the middle rope down through the table. Tony D'Angelo, though, showed up from behind. He whacked Ciampa in the back with a trash can lid. And so here comes LA Knight. And LA Knight showed off some of that athleticism here, and he, in a single jump from the mat, he jumped up in one fell swoop up to the top rope. He grabbed Grayson Waller and he gave him a belly-to-belly overhead suplex off the top rope through a table. And thank God Grayson Waller tucked his head at the last possible second, because that would have ended very badly for him. He almost did not tuck his head in time. He like waited as long as possible and then tucked. Otherwise, he would have went head first right through that table. Ciampa gave Bron Breakker an air raid crash from the top rope onto a trash can for a near fall. Tony D'Angelo put LA Knight on a table and he told Grayson Waller to go up top. And Grayson Waller climbed to the very top of the cage and he hit a very impressive looking elbow drop, got a lot of height on it, and came down through the table. Pete Dunne broke up the pin. D'Angelo had a crowbar. I didn't see where he got it from, but he had a fucking crowbar in there. I guess it might have been one of the things that Trick Williams threw in earlier on. And he pulled out Pete Dunne's mouth guard, put it in his pot, which is disgusting. He put it in his pocket. It's like when Legado del Fantasma stole, from Hit Row. I already forgot his name. He's already old news. God, who's the guy from Hit Row? His name just popped out of my head. The former North American champion. He had the grill that he would wear in his mouth. And Santos Escobar stole it. He took it out of his mouth. I was like, man, that's nasty. I don't want that in my pocket. Anyway, that's what he did here with the mouth guard from Pete Dunne. And he hit Pete Dunne with a crowbar assisted. He had the crowbar across his throat and hit a crowbar assisted twisting neck breaker off the top rope down to the mat. Thank you, Swerve. Isaiah Swerve Scott. Boy, when you're gone, man, out of sight, out of mind. They got rid of those guys, and I can't even remember the guy's fucking name. How sad is that? And I like Swerve. Oh, man. Guy should still be on TV right now. I swear, these people have no idea what they're doing. Bron Breakker hit Ciampa with a running Frankensteiner. Gargano came in, hit Breakker with a super kick. DIY hit Breakker and Waller with one final beat and Willow's Bell. And then Gargano and Ciampa hit Breakker with the DIY knee strike. Perhaps the last time we will ever see that knee strike. Carmelo Hayes broke up the pin at the last possible second. Melo caught Gargano with a low blow. Ciampa went for the fairy tale ending on Carmelo Hayes. And this is a cool spot because as he has him midair, he has him in midair for the fairy tale ending. Here comes Bron Breakker and he spears Ciampa through the table. Looks like he smacked Carmelo in the face too as he came in for the spear. And he put Ciampa through the table. Breakker hit Ciampa with his Gorilla Press Power Slam to win it for Team 2.0. This was an outstanding main event. I very much enjoyed this. This was all action. Everybody played their role perfectly. I thought everybody in this match, from the old guard to the new guard, had a even Pete Dunne's mouth guard, had a chance to shine in this match. And the new school brought their A game. You know, for all of the complaints and all the whining and all the crying and everything about this changeover with NXT, I have never said that NXT does not have a lot of diamonds in the rough. They have a lot of really talented guys and women who are down there right now. I question what their future will be, if all of them are going to make it or not, because there's plenty of people who should make it and end up becoming big stars on Raw and SmackDown. And the sad part is, you know that a lot of them will not make it. And it's not because they don't have what it takes. It's because, in a lot of cases, they will simply be lost in the shuffle. They will be misbooked. Misuse whatever word you want to use, they will be damaged goods by the time WWE gets done with them. I would hope somebody like a Bron Breakker will not fit into that category. I would hope that somebody like a Carmelo Hayes, he is too good for them to screw up. So there are some people I see who are going to go on to one day be in the main event of a WrestleMania. I said that about Austin Theory on the show earlier today. And there he is on television now working with Vince McMahon. Hopefully that's a good omen for his future. So they have a lot of young studs in this company. Both War Games matches, like I said earlier, ended the way I predicted, with the person going over and winning it for their team, who is next in line to challenge for their respective championship. And that's Cora Jade for the women. That's Bron Breakker for the men. The only question left is, when do they do it? When do they pull the trigger on the title change? Are they going to put the title on Bron Breakker maybe on New Year's Evil? Get the new year started with a brand new NXT champion. The only reason that title was put back on Tommaso Ciampa was to transition it over to one of their new stars, who they will strap the rocket to and try to launch him. And I think Bron Breakker is going to be that person. And it's just a matter of when. New Year's Evil would be as good a time as any. Tommaso Ciampa is not going to have a long title reign. Not much longer than it's already been. And Bron Breakker is going to be the guy. That much we know. As far as Johnny Gargano is concerned, if that is the swan song for Johnny Gargano, he went out in the best possible way. He went out not with a win, but he went out with a great performance. Got a little bit of blood. Whether it was intended or not, I don't know. Probably not. But getting some blood in a War Games match just feels right. We should be getting more blood in War Games. But they don't do that. But Johnny, I thought, went out with a hell of a main event. And if this is the end for him on this brand, I think that he has etched his place on the NXT Mount Rushmore. Now, I don't know offhand. I'd have to think about it. Who else I would put on there. I kind of think back to Finn Balor. I mean, there are certain people who immediately come to mind when I think of NXT. Johnny Gargano is one of them. And when I think of my favorite matches in the history of this brand, he's part of a lot of them. And in particular, the matches with Adam Cole in New York and with Andrade in Philadelphia. I still remember watching that match live and just thinking, this is unbelievable. I mean, how is this guy not on Raw and SmackDown? And that match was how many years ago now? And he's still in NXT? Johnny Gargano has outgrown NXT. But I don't know. I feel less confident in Johnny Gargano leaving and going someplace else like AEW than I do Kyle O'Reilly. Kyle O'Reilly has got to be a shoo-in for AEW. Kyle O'Reilly needs to get the hell out of there as soon as he loses to Von Wagner on Tuesday. He needs to get in his car and leave one of those smoke plumes behind him as he speeds away. Gargano, I'm not so sure of. There is still the possibility that he could be convinced, I believe, to resign and end up on the main roster. I just don't see him having the kind of success that I think he should have, and that I think a lot of people are going to end up being disappointed. If he stays there and he goes up, I just don't see him being somebody that they would get behind. And it's a shame, because he is one of the best baby faces in wrestling in the last decade plus. Wherever he lands, hopefully he will do well. And he certainly left his mark on NXT, but this was the end of one era, the beginning of a new one. This is now a new NXT. Whether you like it or not, that is the way it is. And it's up to this new guard now to sort of pick up the flag and carry it. They have some people who can do that. Whether or not the television show is going to improve, that's a whole other story. Some weeks that show is pretty rough to watch. And I will miss the old NXT. The old NXT is some of my most cherished, most fun wrestling moments over the last several years, being at a lot of those shows. My one regret is I never made it to a Full Sail show. I was never in the crowd at Full Sail. I went to a bunch of big takeovers. Takeover Brooklyn, Takeover New York. I mean, there are some iconic NXT takeover shows. If you were to rank them, those would be, you know, at or near the top. And I'm so happy that I had the chance to be part of that. I mean, look, I can remember before TakeOver was a thing, it was WrestleMania 31 weekend in Santa Clara. They had an NXT show in, I believe it was San Jose. And it was basically like a college gymnasium. And there were a decent number of people there. It was pretty packed, but it was a gym. And it did not air on TV. This did not stream. It didn't air. It was only for the people who were there live. And I remember being at that show and being kind of wowed by, you know, everything I was seeing and how much fun. I had more fun than I expected to. And I will miss the old NXT. I don't care what anybody says, Triple H, you know, stacking up all the independent talent, which he did. You know, he raided the indies. That's what he did. He raided the indies. He raided Ring of Honor and all these promotions so that he could run his own super indie. And I don't think that that was a healthy thing for the industry as a whole. And I even warned about that. And I talked about that years ago when he first started to do it. But what he did put together was his own super indie. And you had all these talented guys and these hot crowds with WWE production values. And it made for a really fun atmosphere. And now that's over. It's a thing of the past. And NXT is back to developmental. Back to the gimmicks. Back to a lot of the over-the-top stuff. Some of it will stick, some of it won't. But people like Johnny Gargano and Kyle O'Reilly are a product of a bygone era at this point. You might even say an undisputed era in the case of a Kyle O'Reilly. Let us see where you guys stand as far as this show tonight. Very curious to see this Twitter poll here. Not as positive as I thought. 56% thumbs up. We got 28% thumbs in the middle. And just shy of 15% of you voted thumbs down, which is very surprising. I thought that thumbs up would be up a little closer to 70. So I will say that is surprising to me. You can vote at Solemn Monster if you have not chimed in. You got 3 more days, or I guess 2 more days. 2 more days, plenty of time to go vote. Hey, A. Lavelle just became a Sound Off member, Sound Off superstar, one of our channel members. A. Lavelle, what is going on, my friend? Cheers. All you guys who signed up last week when RSPW Rewind went up, it was exclusive for our channel members for the first 3 days. Whenever we have certain special features like that that go up, I will give the channel members early access to it. You know, our top-tier members, our Legends members, have access to all of the lost episodes of the podcast from 2007 and 2008 that I'm still putting up. But the first 12 episodes that I ever did, which you cannot find anywhere else anymore, those are up for our Legends tier members, and there's always more content going up and new emojis and stuff, so I thank everybody who has signed up in the last week. My goal is in the next couple of months to try to get to 300 channel members. We're getting close, but I can't do that without you. So, A. Lavelle, thank you very much. I turn this over to you guys now. We are going to check out your Super Chats and see what you guys thought of tonight's show. Any comments, questions you have coming out of NXT tonight or any other wrestling stuff, feel free to drop a Super Chat. Just like magic. There it is. See, it was War Games, so I thought this would be... this is my War Games shirt. This is as close to war as I will ever be. So I thought it would be appropriate to wear this shirt tonight. Anyway, let's scroll back here, see what you guys have to say. Thank you, by the way, all the feedback in the chat on RSPW. RSPW is pure gold, says Vitamin Vision TV. Yeah, for those of you who don't know what that is, just real quick here. RSPW, before there was a Twitter and a Facebook and any kind of social media, you had news groups, which still exist, but they're basically dead. RSPW was the one that was set up for pro wrestling, and it's been around since the late 80s. There were RSPW posts going back to 1989. I wish I can find more of them. Unfortunately, I can only find whatever pops up. Not all of the old posts are still available, so I kind of pluck out the ones I can find, and I take you guys back down memory lane to what people were talking about back in the day. Because everybody who says people whine and complain and bitch and moan online because of social media and it's so toxic. It wasn't like that 25 years ago, 30 years ago. It wasn't like that during the Monday Night War. You guys have no idea. It was going on back then, too. You just didn't know.
though.
I have a whole playlist on right here on the channel. I've organized all of them in a playlist. You don't have to go searching for it. You want to look at some of the old RSPWs, they're all up there. So there will be more of those coming up in the future. Cameron Spencer. Cameron Spencer with the $4.99. Wrestling can be laughably bad at times. Well, that was from the other night. That was the last one I read the other night. Griga. Griga is who started us out tonight. I'm going back. I was talking about RSPW. I was going back in time with the Super Chats as well. Griga, I know Griga said he wouldn't be able to be here live, but he wanted to drop some love. So thank you to Griga. He says he cried when Eddie won the championship in No Way Out back in 2004 and the ending to WrestleMania 20. Nick Grosso, what's going on, Nick? $9.99 Super Chat. Von Wagner looked like a geek with that failed sneak attack. The War Games match... War Games matches were really good. And the tag team title match was great. The Hair versus Hair, Strong, and Gacy matches were just filler. Barry MK400. I was just talking to Barry on Twitter earlier, and I shouted Barry out on the podcast. Thank you for the dollar, Barry. I hope you're doing well. Flamethrower Fluff Salisbury with the $5. Thank you, Johnny and Kyle. Loki Agatha with the $10 Super Chat. What's going on, Loki? Thank you, sir. Just showing some love. Love Sundays when not only does a new episode drop, but we get a stream as well. Well, this will be the final Sunday stream for the entire month. There are no pay-per-views. No more pay-per-views this month. Henry Ruiz. $4.99. Hey, Solo, you were my most listened to podcast this year with 22,000. 553 minutes. Holy shit. I sent you a DM on Instagram to show you because I got no Twitter. I did see that. I think you might hold the record. I had a couple of people who sent me those Spotify Unwrapped things showing like 16,000 minutes of listen time this year, 17,000 minutes listening to the podcast. 22,500 might just be the record for 2021. Henry, you are a beast. EJ Slemp with the $4.99. I've become a huge Bron Breakker fan, but even though he is a homegrown talent, I still have no faith that he'll get a real push on the main roster. I'm a little more optimistic than you are about him for that very reason, because they look at him as a homegrown talent, and I think that they might give him, they might give him a better chance because of that. But he's got talent. I mean, he's got the talent. He is homegrown. There's no reason for them not to push this guy to the moon. But I know that, you know, we're dealing with the same people who cut. I mean, you look at some of the names they cut this year. These are the people that we're dealing with. So they don't always have an eye for good talent. Buzzsaw75 with the $20 Super Chat. I would have a little more respect for Bron Breakker, but wish his name was Steiner. Long live Gargano, Mr. NXT. Vitamin Vision, $5 Super Chat. I have not watched NXT for a while. Damn, what happened to NXT? Besides the main event, this show was boring. More like NXT minus 2.0. Gyro Splater. Dropping 10. I really love that Dakota Kai paid tribute to Hana Kimura. Yeah, I did not notice that. I didn't even really pick up on that until right before I went live. I had seen a message that mentioned that. Yeah, I know she had her hair done differently. She had like the Shotzi Blackheart hair going. But that was very cool. That was very cool of her to do that. Ryan Spies. According to PW Insider, Jeff Hardy got sent home from the road. Hopefully he did not relapse. That was the super chat that I read earlier. I have talked about Jeff Hardy. If you tuned in late, he was sent home from the road. We don't know why. He could just be sick. He could be hurt. There could be a family issue. We don't know. Beyond that, I don't want to speculate. beyond the speculation that I just speculated, I don't want to speculate. And Ghost Rose, thank you for the $2. King Bling Blah, what do I say to my dumb friends that say the reason Brian Cole, Johnny, etc. left or are leaving is because they were never offered a contract? I would say that you need new friends. Hey, Gabriella. I'm doing very well. I hope you are having a great night. Robert with the $5 super chat. Is Cora Jade a future champion? I can see it happening in NXT. I believe she is, yes. Gyro Splater. I think Kaylee Ray and Dakota carried the women's War Games match. I really love Dakota's tribute to Hana in her gear. Nick Grosso with the $4.99. I was convinced Cora Jade was really hurt. I guess she just sold well. I thought too was gonna go full Miyagi, clap her hands, and magically fix the... Oh, Io. I didn't know what that said. I thought Io was gonna go full Miyagi, clap her hands, and magically fix the arm. Ben Cathery, happy belated 14th anniversary. Solomonster, much love from Down Under. Thank you, Ben. Thank you, Ben. We are celebrating our 14-year anniversary this year, which means that next year, we are celebrating 15 years of that podcast. See that logo right there? Boom, right there. The Solomonster Sounds Off podcast. 15 years coming up in 2022. What should we do for the 15-year anniversary? We got to do it up big. EJ Slemp, who do you think is the greatest trainer of all time? My picks are Stu Hart, Killer Kowalski, Dory Funk, and Eddie Sharkey. Eddie Sharkey was the one who turned out a lot of those Minnesota boys, right? Eddie Sharkey turned out a lot of people. So Sharkey's definitely up there. I mean, there have been a lot of great trainers. As far as who turned out the most stars, I don't know. You know, you hear about Stu Hart and the Dungeon. We know, you know, you mentioned Killer Kowalski. Triple H trained with Killer Kowalski. You know, Dory Funk still trains people. Lance Storm got a lot of props from people who trained with him. There are a lot of people that have gone on to WWE, a lot of women who have gone on to work in major promotions who trained with him. So I think Lance Storm is another one. Bulu, again, I read your super chat earlier, but I want to just say to Bulu, if he's still with us here in the chat, I'm very sorry. My condolences on the loss of your father. And we are here for you. We are here to keep you company and take your mind off things. And if you need anything, you just let me know. Randy Bobandy, what's going on, Randy? $9.99 super chat. Yes, I know this question is irrelevant to the stream, but I'm wondering... Saw the old mailbag clips on WrestleTalk and was wondering how that became and why there have not been more clips. Yeah, that was like a temporary collaboration. They reached out to me. I think it was Ollie. And that went on for a while, and then it just sort of petered out. That was years ago. Yeah, that's probably going back, what, three, four years at this point? Ty Kane, thank you for the $1.99. Jamin John, what are some dream matches you surprised and forgot actually happened, like Bret Hart against The Rock or Shawn Michaels against Goldberg? Both of those were Raw matches, so it's easy to forget that they happened. And The Rock was, I mean, The Rock was still Rocky Maivia at that point. It's not like we got The Rock against Bret Hart. Shawn Michaels and Goldberg, they had a Raw match. Shawn Michaels and Rob Van Dam had a Raw match. Shawn Michaels against Rob Van Dam would have been a dream match for a lot of people at one point. So I'd add that one to the list. Shawn Michaels and Rey Mysterio, I would say that would be another one. I know that happened on the Eddie Guerrero tribute show. Some people might not remember that Shawn and Rey had a match. What are some other ones in the chat? You guys can list some other ones in the chat. Jamin John. Why Rock Austin versus the NWO took place on a random episode of Raw? It should have been the biggest match ever. Yeah, they kind of rushed that out there. That was the go-home show to WrestleMania 18. They were trying to put over the matches at WrestleMania. That's the only reason why they did that. They must have known that Hogan was going to turn. I don't buy this nonsense that, you know, the Hogan thing was, you know, Hogan would probably tell you that, you know, when he got to the ring, he didn't know that the crowd was going to react the way they did. He's full of shit. They knew that weekend, just from the fan access stuff, they knew that weekend the reactions Hogan was getting. So if they already had a sense that they were going to turn Hogan babyface, then they probably figured we have to do the match now. If we don't do the match now, we're not going to be able to do it. That, plus Scott Hall, they probably had tabs going on how long it was going to be before Scott Hall got shit-canned. 2 months later, he was. 2 months later, he was gone. He was out the door. So I don't blame them entirely, because they probably looked at it and said, this might be our only shot to do this match. I think it's more ridiculous we never got Hogan against Austin. Ben Cathery, with Mania being in Texas next year and The Undertaker being retired, do you think that he should headline the Hall of Fame in 2022? If not him, then who should? I think Undertaker would be a fine choice. I mean, The Rock is the biggest star they could get. That will completely depend on when The Rock is available, and I don't get the sense he'll be available next year. Maybe in LA the following year, that might be the time to go with The Rock. Undertaker, I think, especially being in Texas, would be the best choice, I think, and the biggest possible name outside of The Rock that they could do. I don't know what's going on with the Hall of Fame. It's weird because they've announced all the WrestleMania weekend and WrestleMania week stuff. I don't think they've announced a date or anything for the Hall of Fame. Unless the Hall of Fame isn't happening. I can't imagine they would just completely cancel it. Although I would be, you know, totally in favor of them doing a Hall of Fame not with fans. I've been saying that for years. They need to take the Hall of Fame out of the arenas because the people don't know how to behave themselves at the Hall of Fame. It's embarrassing. But if they do one next year, I think Undertaker would be, you know, in Texas would make the most sense. John Falchetta, thank you for the $5. Armed Anderson. He says, hopefully Vince and Triple H don't let the heat with the Steiners hold back or screw up Braun Breaker. They are that petty. But we know Vince can be very petty. But if money is what really makes them kind of... If money is what ultimately leads them to make the decisions that they make, they should be smart enough to realize there's a lot of money to be made with Braun Breaker. If they put money over everything else, then Braun Breaker will get that big push. Biblical Adrian, how long until WWE fires Jeff Hardy? Let's not get carried away yet. We don't know what exactly happened tonight. And Amiibo with the $2. I guess the Vic Joseph super chat. Ooh! Ooh! We got some more ohs from Vic Joseph tonight. Oh! Oh! Thank you, Amiibo. And Bulu, that's very nice of you to say. Thank you. I saw that message in the chat. Thank you very much. Sirloin says, a fan posted video of the match Jeff Hardy was in the other night. It's weird. Jeff is laying down on the side of the ring apron and then just sits up and jumps over the barricade and leaves. It could be an injury. That's why I'm saying, let's just hold our horses. I'm sure that, you know, Sean Ross Sapp or The Observer or Mike Johnson, somebody will have some kind of news update in the next day or two on Jeff Hardy. We will not have to wait very long to find out what the hell happened to Jeff Hardy. So let's not start running amok with all these speculative messages here. But Amiibo, thank you. I think you are the final super chat. We are all caught up. It's time to be the booker. This is some people's favorite segment that we do here on these streams. I was just talking about WrestleMania on the podcast earlier today, doing some fantasy booking for WWE on possible top matches for WrestleMania. Now we put the booking of WrestleMania in the hands of, I guess, fate. We do a deal here where we randomly pick two people to face each other in the WrestleMania main event and see what kind of match we end up with. So let's find out. We have got Karrion Kross, who will be a free agent as of the beginning of February. Apparently he has a movie lined up. He's going to be doing a movie. Didn't exactly have a very memorable run, unfortunately, on the main roster. Karrion Kross one-on-one with Bobby Lashley. You know what's sad about that? That could have been, I don't know about a WrestleMania main event, but that could have been a big WrestleMania match at some point next year or the year after, if they had played their cards right. That could have been a big match at WrestleMania, but we'll never know. But I think that's a good match. I think that's a good match. Let us switch over to the women. Check out the ladies here and see who we have in the women's WrestleMania main event. Of course, there are two nights of WrestleMania, so we can have one on one night, one on the other. And we have the lovely Stacy Keibler. Love Stacy Keibler. As a wrestler, absolutely not. But I do love Stacy Keibler. I'm just curious. Who would Stacy Keibler be sharing the ring with? Stacy, who the hell is that? I see a chest. I see a torso. I have no idea who that is. If I had to venture a guess, I mean, it looks like Xena Warrior Princess. Is that Sarah Logan? Is that who that is? That's the only thing I could come up with. Is Sarah Logan. But I have not got the faintest idea what the fuck I am looking at here. That ain't no WrestleMania main event. Stacy Keibler and Sarah Logan, or Stacy Keibler against the torso, whoever's torso that is. That is not a WrestleMania main event. I'm sorry. Night one or night two. But thank you for choosing me again for your War Games coverage tonight. I do hope that you guys enjoyed your stay. We will be live again on Wednesday night for AEW Dynamite. 1 week away from Winter is Coming, and then Friday night we might be doing a hybrid stream instead of just Rampage. We might be doing SmackDown as well. I will let you guys know later in the week on Twitter. So follow me on there. Please hit the like button on your way out. It does get this video into the recommended, so more people on YouTube will see it and will hopefully click onto it, and maybe they will convert into channel subscribers. And so the thumbs up button does actually help out the channel a lot. So hit that thumbs up and become a channel member if you are not already. You get a lot of goodies, get some perks when you are part of the Sound Off family. And don't forget to check out episode 733. Almost 2 hours of the podcast earlier today dropped on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all the usual platforms. We talked about a lot of stuff. Walter possibly coming to the main roster. Talked about him, among many other things. Cody's big flaming table bump from the other night and why it happened. Big Swole leaving AEW. So check out 733. Have yourselves a good night, and I will see you guys back here live on Wednesday night for the Dynamite Recap. Until then, take care, guys.